Welcome to the Trumpet of Truth, a broadcast ministry of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church. The Trumpet of Truth radio broadcast can be heard Sunday mornings at 9 and Sunday evenings at 5 on WASW 91.9 FM, American Family Radio. Now, with the message, the pastor of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, Brother Bill Mullis.
Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans. I would like to read from Romans chapter 13. I would like to read the first 7 verses. The Word of God says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Let me pause here and say that I believe that this verse is often misrepresented to the people of God, telling the people of God that all kings and all presidents and all powers in this world, that they're all ordained of God and that we're to be subject to all powers. I would declare to you that that's a lie from the devil. There are evil powers. The Word of God says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. We're to wrestle against powers. There are godly powers. There are people that are in position that God put in that position, and they are godly powers, but there are ungodly powers. And you are not taught by God to be subject to those ungodly powers. You are taught to rebel against those ungodly powers. You remember when Jesus was preaching and teaching, there were many powers that tried to stop him. There were people that were in authority that were over him in civil government, and he did not obey those powers. He would not stop preaching the Word of God. When Peter and the apostles were carried before the Sanhedrin Council, and they were commanded by those powers that they were not to speak in the name of Jesus Christ anymore, Peter said, and these are words of truth, "We ought to obey God rather than men." That's Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. The Word of God tells us in the book of Daniel about how Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the powers that be, the princes and the governors and the king that was reigning at that time, they commanded the people to do things that were contrary to the law of God. And they were not then, nor are we, commanded today to obey powers that are telling us to do things contrary to the Word of God. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they rebelled against those powers. There are many people who take Romans chapter 13 and talk about that we ought to be bowing down to and be subject to all powers, that we ought to be subject to our president, even though he's a heathen and ungodly man. I'll tell you that God has not commanded you to bow down to our president or any other man or any other power that is doing things contrary to the Word of God. God has never commanded you to be subject to those powers. If you'll look at this whole passage of Scripture, it'll tell you about the powers that's under consideration. The Word of God says in verse 2, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth" what? "The ordinance of God." Now what kind of power is he talking about? He's talking about powers that are teaching and upholding the ordinances of God. That's the powers that you are to be subject to. If there is a president, if there's a king, if there's a Congress, if there is a government that is following the ordinances of God, you are to be subject to those powers. The Word of God also in this chapter and in other places in the Bible tells you and me that I'm to be subject to men of God who are in positions of authority and power. Pastors are in a position of authority and power, and hopefully we'll see that before we finish this morning. And you are to be subject to those powers As long as they are teaching and preaching things that are in harmony with the Word of God. But if me or any other man ever tells you to do something contrary to what God tells you to do, I want you to know that those powers are not to be obeyed. The Word of God says that the powers that He tells us to be subject to, that they are giving us the ordinances of God. And we're not to resist the ordinance of God. The rest of verse 2 says, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. You resist the ordinances of God. You resist the rules of God. You resist the Word of God. You're going to experience some damnation. Verse 3 says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Now the rulers and the powers that are under consideration here are godly rulers. And godly rulers are a terror to the evil, but they're not a terror to good works. Now, our government, when it is a terror to good works, and our government, when it is doing things that are like abortion and legalizing homosexuality and things like that, they are endorsing and supporting and promoting evil works. And you are not to be subject to those powers. The rest of verse 3 says, wilt thou then not be afraid of the power, do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. When you're doing what's right, and you've got godly powers, they're going to be pleased with your action. Verse 4 says, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. Brethren, if you think a man that is promoting the ungodly things that are being promoted in America today, if you think he's a minister of God to us for good, you're very confused in your thinking. He is an enemy of God, and our government is an enemy of God, and an enemy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he says in verse 4, for he is the minister of God, that is the godly powers. He is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. Let me tell you something, brethren. God has given civil government power and authority. I'm telling you also that the ministers of God, they're given power and authority, and there's a sword that the men of God carry today, and that's the Word of God. And that's the sword, I think, that is under consideration in verse 4. The Word of God says, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Brethren, the ministers and the powers that are under consideration in Romans 13, they're going to execute judgment against the powers that are ungodly. Verse 5 says, wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Now listen carefully to verse 7. The main subject that's on my heart this morning is honor. Giving honor where honor is due. Rendering or giving honor where honor is due. Verse 7 says, render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Now, if you'll look at this verse and get any English teacher to explain the diagramming of this sentence has a series of phrases, but it all comes under this first part of the verse that says, render, therefore, to all their dues. And then he lists several things that we're to render. And the last thing he says, we are to render honor to whom honor is due. Now, when you study the Word of God, you'll find that the honor that is to be given to God is somewhat different than the honor that's to be given to men. The word honor, when it talks about honoring God, and He is the supreme one, God is the main one that is always to be honored by us as His people. We are to honor God in everything we do and in everything we say. Everywhere we go, every action that we carry out, it should honor God. It should show, the word honor means to respect and dignify and show love for. And it means, when it talks about honoring God, it means praising God and worshiping God. If you were singing in the Spirit a while ago, if you were singing in the Spirit and singing with understanding, you were honoring God while you were singing. When we pray, if we pray in the Spirit and pray with understanding, we are honoring God. So when the Word of God says here, render honor unto whom honor is due, I want to encourage you, first of all, that you all render unto God the honor that God is due. And God is due all the honor and the glory and the praise we can give Him in this world and in that glory world which is to come. God is to be honored, and He is to be honored above all others. Sometimes we honor people more than we honor God. Brethren, on the Lord's Day, you have a way to honor God, and that's to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You have a way to honor God, and that's to be in God's house, not forsake the assembling of yourself in God's house. Some will honor God by doing that, while others dishonor God by not doing that. Some will understand that the reading of God's Word is another way we honor God. Some will honor God. May I ask you, Brother Buddy, if I send you a letter this week, if you get a letter in the mail from me, and you know the letter's from me, are you going to read that letter? Amen. Why? Why are you going to read my letter to you? Do you love me? Well, I love you too. So if you get a letter from me, it's going to be a love letter. Listen, brethren. God, our God, has written us a letter. This is the Word of God. I sometimes read and I get frustrated with people who think that the only part of this that's the Word of God is what's written in red. This Bible from Genesis through Revelation is the Word of God. Doesn't matter whether Paul penned the words, doesn't matter if Matthew penned the words, doesn't matter who wrote the words down. This is the Word of God. God is the one that is to be honored. God's given us this book. God's given us this letter. If you're not reading the letter that God has sent to you, if you're not reading the letter that God wrote to you, and brethren, the Bible is a spiritual message from a spiritual God to a spiritual people. Jesus says in John chapter 8, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot, not you will not, but you cannot hear my word." Brethren, there are people that cannot hear the Word of God. They don't have spiritual ears with which to hear. If you have a spiritual ear to hear the Word of God, you better honor God by reading and listening to and obeying His holy word. We honor God by looking at the Word of God. We honor God by reading the Word of God. We honor God by hearing the Word of God. And we honor God by doing what God tells us to do. We're to obey God. Obey God. We're to serve God. And that honors God. The Word of God tells us in all different kinds of places in the Scripture. It tells us about people and about angels honoring God, and about the Word of God declaring that God is worthy of the honor that we render unto Him. Remember the text in Romans 13:7 says, "Render therefore honor unto whom honor is due." And God is due honor. Now, I mentioned that sometimes people honor people more than they honor God. Back up in your Bibles, let me show you that. Let me give you an example of that. In 1 Samuel, look in your Bibles at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 29 and 30. The Word of God tells us about a man that honored his sons more than he honored God. There are many fathers and mothers today and grandparents, they honor their children more than they honor God. They honor their family more than they honor God. We are to render honor unto whom honor is due. And parents are due honor. And families are due honor. But if you ever honor your parents or your family or your children more than you honor God, you have gotten things out of order. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 29. The Word of God says, this is God speaking to Eli the priest. Most of you remember 1 Samuel chapter 2. Verses 29 and 30. Most of you remember Eli the priest. He had two sons. One of them's name was Hophni, and the other one's name was Phinehas. Hophni and Phinehas were sons of Eli the priest. And Eli might have done a lot of good things as a priest. I think he did a lot of good things as a priest. But one thing he did not do was he did not control his sons. He did not bring up his children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He did not discipline his children. He did not make his children do what was right. And when they were grown, they continued in their ungodly ways and brought open shame and reproach, not only against their father, but against the house of God. And the whole priesthood was tainted because of Eli failing to discipline those sons. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, listen to verses 29 and 30. The word of God says, this is God speaking to Eli the priest, "Wherefore, that is why I kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me." Do you hear what he said there? What had Eli the priest been doing? Honored, thou honorest thy sons above me. Are you supposed to honor your sons? Are you supposed to do good things? Absolutely. But you're never supposed to honor your sons above God. "To make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now, the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." You hear the wording there? God says, them that honor me, I will honor. If you want, isn't that an amazing thing that God would honor us? Did you know God's honoring us right now? God is honoring us. He is honoring us with his presence. What an amazing thing. And God says here, them that honor me, I will honor. You honor God. You honor God by praying. You honor God by reading and studying his word. You honor God by remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You honor God by keeping his commandments. And God will honor you. He will honor you. He'll honor you in so many ways. And you may have to go through some difficult times when you're honoring God and putting God first. You may have to go through some heartbreaking times when you're honoring God and doing what God says. But God will honor you when you honor him. And those that don't honor him, he gives a very gentle expression here, will be lightly esteemed. That also means he will be harshly punished, by the way. You read the Word of God and you'll see what happens to those that don't honor God. The Word of God tells us all about what the sons of Eli did. I'm not going to go into all that, but the fact is that Eli the priest honored his sons above God, and God brought Eli down, and God brought judgment into the sons of Eli the priest. They both died in one day. How do you think Eli the priest felt? You know, sometimes parents say, well, I just love my children too much to discipline them, or I love my children too much to take a stand against them. You'll see them die. You'll see them die. You'll see them go away from God and at least die a soul death. If you don't see them die a physical death, you'll see them get away from God and you'll see some hell in their lives because you failed to do what you were supposed to do by honoring God and bringing them up in the nurtured admonition of the Lord. Honor God. Honor your parents. Honor your children. Render, therefore, Romans 13:7 says, render, therefore, honor unto whom honor is due. Parents, are we supposed to honor our parents? Absolutely. Look in your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians, go back to the New Testament and look at Ephesians chapter 6. Of course, we could turn to the Ten Commandments. It's one of the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. But I want you to notice in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, the Word of God again here is telling us about honoring our parents, our parents to be honored. In Ephesians chapter 6, listen please to verses 1, 2, and 3. The Word of God says, children, obey your parents. Now, how do we honor God? How do we honor God? A word is in that first phrase there that will tell us how to honor God. Children, blank your parents. What's the word that I left out? Obey. That's the way you honor your parents. That's the way you honor God, is to obey them. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor. Now, let me ask you this question. I shouldn't have to, but I will, because it relates back to the whole passage in Romans 13. What if your parents tell you to do something that's ungodly? Are you to honor your parents or are you to honor God? Which one's to get honored? God is to be honored. You're never to obey the government when the government tells you to do something that's ungodly. You're never to obey your parents when your parents tell you to do something that's ungodly. But you're to obey God. Who put the parents in that position of power? God did. And you better obey them as long as they're giving you godly counsel and they're teaching you the right way. You better obey your parents. Honor, verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Honor your mother and your father. Now, we've talked about honoring God. We've talked about honoring our parents. Let me tell you, husband, something. You're to honor your wife. You are to honor your wife. God commands it. Look in your Bibles at 1 Peter very quickly. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Listen, please, to verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. The Word of God tells us about husbands. Of course, it talks about wives in verse 6. It also talks about husbands. And it does the same thing in Ephesians and many other places. It'll say, for example, in Ephesians chapter 5, the Word of God will say, wives, submit yourselves to your husband. And then turns right around and says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And here the Word of God does the same thing. It tells the wives to be honoring their husbands. But then in verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, the Word of God says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, that's the wife, according to knowledge, giving, what's the next word there? Giving honor unto the wife. I'm going to say it again. Giving honor unto the wife. Your wife is to be honored. You are to honor her. If you're not honoring her, you're not honoring God. You are not to honor her in anything that would contradict the honor of God. But I'm saying to the husbands, if you're not honoring your wife, you're failing to honor God. Honor your wife. Respect your wife. Respect her. Treat her right. Do good for her. Love her. Honor her. Romans 13:7 says, render therefore honor unto whom honor is due. Is honor due unto a wife? God says it. That settles it. Honor is due to a wife. What about old people? Now, brethren, we've gotten far away from what God's Word says about honoring old people. The Word of God says we're to honor elderly people. Does anybody here know what a hoarhead is? H-O-A-R, hoary head, gray-headed. I don't put color on mine. Brother David thinks I do. I don't put coloring on mine. If I wash my head on Sunday morning and I come to church, my hair looks grayer when it's dry than when I put water on it. Right now I've got water on it. See how pretty? Hoary head. Hoary head is a gray-headed person. Brother Richard's turning into a gray-headed man. Brother Buddy said he's a gray-headed man. Sister Laura's a gray-headed woman. Beautiful hair, isn't it? Now let's see what the Bible says about those that have that gray hair. Turn in your Bible to Leviticus. Turn in your Bibles to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19. Listen, please, to verse 32. Leviticus, I needed to explain what hoary head is so that you'll know what hoary head means. It means a gray-headed person, person that has gray hair. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32, the Word of God says, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor, and what? And honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. You know what you're doing when you honor the old person? You know what you do when you honor the old man, the face of the old man? You know what you do when you honor the gray-headed person? You're honoring God. Rise up. Brethren, when I was a child and a lady walked into a room, you know what everybody did when a lady walked into a room? What did you do when a lady walked into the room? Sure, you stood up. What about when an old person walked into a room? What did everybody do when an old person walked into a room? Stood up. Why? To honor them. When a lady is about to go through a door, what do you do? Anybody that has any training, what do? They open the door for them. Honor. Honor the elderly. Don't discard them. Don't think they're not important. They're important to God. And if you're a Christian, they're important to you. The elderly are to be honored. Aren't you thankful for these? I know y'all don't like to be called elderly, maybe, but aren't you thankful for these hoary heads and old faces that are up here? I'm thankful for them. They're a blessing. And I love you. We need to honor them. God said to honor them. Now, in closing, and I always hesitate to go to scriptures like this, but I'm going to be dead and gone one day, and I'm not personally, I want you to understand something. I'm not personally asking you for you to honor me, but I'm telling you that God commands you to honor the man of God that is preaching and teaching the Word of God. You are to honor him. So when I'm dead and gone, in fact, while I'm still living, you better honor me. Listen in your Bibles, turn in your Bibles, please, to go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let's see what the Word of God is. Remember that Romans 13 verse 7 says, render therefore honor unto whom honor is due. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 17. The Word of God here uses the word elder as a pastor. The word elder in the Bible means two different things. Sometimes the word elder has reference to an older person, and sometimes the word elder has reference to a spiritual leader. And this is talking about a spiritual leader. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17, the Word of God says, let the elders that rule, and you might not like that term, you might, and I'm a man just like you're a man, and I'm not perfect, and I've got all kind of faults. But God, I believe, God has called me to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has called me to be the pastor of this church. God has called me to have the rule over you. Now, the rule is the Word of God. That's the ruler. And you better obey them that have the rule over you. And you better obey the rule. So the Word of God says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. You hear the wording there? That the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. What does Romans 13:7 say? Render therefore honor unto whom honor is due. Are there some people that are worthy of honor? Brother David's mama, do y'all think she's worthy of honor? I'll bring it closer to home. You think my mama's worthy of honor? Yes, she is. And when those ladies come into this house, and Sister Laura, of course, and you think she's worthy of honor? Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. They're worthy of honor. Worthy of honor. And pastors that rule well, they're worthy. God said, the one whom we're to honor, God said, them that rule well are worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Now, you might not think there's anything to preaching. But brethren, it takes a lot of work, a lot of study. It takes a lot of praying to be able to rightly divide the word of truth and to be able to preach the word and to preach what God would have you to preach every time. It's the most frightening thing in the world, and yet it's the most wonderful thing in the world, is to preach the word of God. I'll give you one other scripture. In closing, turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. We're still talking about rendering honor unto whom honor is due. And right now in closing, we're trying to look at the fact that the Word of God tells us that pastors are due honor. In Hebrews chapter 13, I don't have time to go through this and tie it all back to Romans 13. But as we look at this in Hebrews 13, it ties right back to Romans 13. Hebrews, and I don't think it's by chance that it's Hebrews 13, which is the letter to the Jews, And I know the whole Bible is the Word of God, but the book of Hebrews was written to the Jews, and the book of Romans was written to the Gentiles. And Hebrews chapter 13 talks about the rulers that rule over you, and Romans 13 talks about the rulers that rule over you, and they're talking about the same thing. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, the Word of God says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." And then in verse 17, he says, "Obey them." Now see, in verse 7, he said, "Remember them that have the rule over you." That means pray for them, think about them. Remember them that have the rule over you and obey them. Verse 17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves." What rule is it that I have over you? Brethren, if I get outside the Word of God, you have no responsibility to follow what I say. None whatsoever. But as long as I'm trying to teach you the Word of God, you have the responsibility to do exactly what I say. You're honoring God when you honor me by obeying me when I teach you the Word of God. "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls." Did you know that I have to give account for every one of you? They watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I've been here 33 years. I've seen some of you grow and grow and grow. I've seen others of you grow and now go away from God. It grieves my heart to see people that have been so faithful and committed and dedicated in their service to God and see them become lukewarm and indifferent. I pray that God will help us all to honor God, give honor unto whom honor is due. Honor is due to God. Honor is due to parents. Honor is due to the wife. Honor is due to the elderly. And honor is due to the pastor. And honor God by honoring these that God says to honor is my prayer for Christ's sake.
You have been listening to the Trumpet of Truth radio broadcast. Now, on to the second message for today, the pastor of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, Brother Bill Mullis.
If you have your Bibles, I would like to ask you to please turn to Matthew chapter 19, Matthew chapter 19, beginning with verse 13, reading through verse 15. The Word of God says, "Then were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence." The main verse that I want us to consider is verse 14. Because I think it's important to note in verse 13 that there were people that brought little children to Jesus. Now, it could have been that most of them, and I expect that most of them, were parents that brought their children to Jesus. However, I think that since it did not say there were parents that brought their children to Jesus, that probably there were other people who brought some children to Jesus. And I think that all of us today need to, first of all, have it impressed on our minds that we need to be taking people to Jesus. Every one of us, there are people that we need to be taking to Jesus. There are certainly a lot of children that need to be taken to Jesus. All of us know children that are not being raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and they need to be taken to Jesus. They need to be brought to the house of God. I think that's one of the ways that you can take people to Jesus, is to take them to the house of God. There are a lot of other ways to take people to Jesus. You can take them to Jesus in prayer. A lot of other ways, but I do want to encourage everybody here that you take some people to Jesus. And then the second thing I want you to notice in verse 13 is that the disciples of Jesus, they rebuked the people that brought those children to Jesus. You know, children, I think typically you can get in a ditch on one side or the other on almost any subject, and same thing is true of children. I think you can have children that just take over everything. God condemned the children of Israel and said that women were their oppressors and children ruled over them. I think there are a lot of children that are ruling houses today. There are a lot of families that everything revolves around the children. Doesn't revolve around God or the things of God or the ways of God. Everything revolves around the children. And days and weeks and months are all spent revolving. The whole focus is on the children. The ditch on the other side is what they were in, the condition they were in here, where children were considered insignificant and unimportant. And that's a ditch that we need to be careful about. Children are important. Children are important to God. Children are important to Jesus. And children are important to the church, but they should not be the focus of everything in the church. But if you ever despise little children, you need to understand you're headed for major trouble in your lives. If you ever mistreat little children, you're headed for major trouble in your life. These disciples rebuked the people that brought those little children. They didn't want Jesus to be bothered with those little children. Jesus rebuked them, and then he said in verse 14, But Jesus said, "Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me." Now, the first thing, there are two main lessons I want us to get out of verse 14 today. The first one is that we need to be careful about the way that we treat other people. I think that there is a sense in which the Bible uses the term little ones and the term children to mean a lot more than just people that are a certain age. I hope I don't offend any of these who are here in wheelchairs, but there's a sense in which, even though they are elderly people, there's a sense in which society looks on them as little ones, people that are not that important. Sometimes even families, when a person gets old, they just kind of push them away on the side. There are a lot of people in the nursing home today, and I do thank God for nursing homes, but there are a lot of people that are in the nursing home that their families have forsaken them and forgotten them. And though they might be considered little ones by a lot of people, and though they might not have much money, and though they might have a lot of physical problems, and though they might not have much strength, and though they might not have a lot of things that we have, they might be considered little ones by some people. These seven people that are sitting here and eight people that are in their wheelchairs, they're not insignificant in the sight of God. They are precious. They are precious. They may live closer to God than anybody else in this building. We better be careful how we treat these little ones. You better be careful about how you ignore people in the nursing home, because the Word of God says in James 1 that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. So if we're not visiting people like these that are here from the nursing home, if we're not visiting the fatherless and widows in their affliction, we don't even have pure religion. You might go to church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, but you do not have, by definition, you do not have pure religion if you're not visiting. And I think most everybody in this building could do a better job of visiting. And I pray that God will help us to do that, to God's honor and glory. I pray that God will help us to stop neglecting these little ones. There are a lot of other little ones. You see, little ones are mentioned in the Bible in a number of different ways. The Bible talks about those that are feeble-minded. Let me tell you something. You better not despise one of those feeble-minded people. Are there a lot of people that are feeble-minded? There are people that are feeble-minded. The Word of God says we had better help those that are feeble-minded. There are people that are physically weak, Besides elderly people, there are people that are physically weak. And though they're weak in their body and they're little in that way, we better be helping them. We better not despise them. And then there are those that the Bible calls weak in the faith. The Bible says those that are weak in the faith, that is, they don't have much understanding of God's word and God's way. But the Bible says those that are weak in the faith, receive ye, not to doubtful disputation. That is, don't start arguing with them and correcting them about everything they're doing and saying that's wrong. Don't get a Pharisaical attitude just because you can see all things that aren't just right in their lives. Those that are weak in the faith, those little ones, receive ye. Work with them, labor with them, help them, yes. But better not despise them. So there are two things from verse 14 I want you to remember today. First one is, we better be careful about how we treat other people. And that's taught in the first half of verse 14. Suffer little children to come unto me. Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me. Be careful how you treat other people. Back up in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Look at verse 10 as we talk about the importance of how we treat other people. And this is true of brothers and sisters in your home. You better be careful how you treat each other. It's true of brothers and sisters in Christ, in the church. You better be careful about how you treat each other. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10, the Word of God says, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Now you can say what you want to. Jesus said that these little ones have angels in heaven that are beholding the face of God. You better be careful about how you treat those little ones, because they have angels that are right in the presence of God. Be careful. Back up one more page to Matthew chapter 18. If you're in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 18, look at verse 6. I just want to tell you it's important that we not mistreat other people. Don't speak harshly to people. Don't mistreat people. Matthew 18 and verse 6, the Word of God says, and this is still Jesus speaking, and Jesus says, but whoso shall offend one of these, what are the next two words there? Can that be children literally? Can that be literally children? Yes. Can it be old people? Yes. Can it be middle-aged people? Yes. It can be the age of a person does not, that's not what little ones is talking about in the Word of God always. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. The Word of God says here, it's better for you to have a millstone. Now, a millstone is a huge grinding stone. There's nobody here that could put your arms around a millstone. It's a huge grinding stone that they use to grind up corn with to make meal. And it says it's better for you to have a huge stone like that and have it wrapped around your neck and you be cast into the sea. That's better than for you to offend one of these little ones. You need to be careful about how you treat other people. Now, can you imagine if you had been Peter and the apostles? Now, remember this. The sequence of events is that in Matthew 18, Jesus has just told them that it would be better for a millstone to be hanged around your neck and you be cast into the depths of the sea than for you to offend one of these little ones. And then in Matthew 19, one of the next things that happened in their lives is little children were brought to Jesus, and these same people that he spoke to in chapter 18, they turned right around and rebuked the people for bringing children to Jesus. Now, that tells me a lot of things. One is that sometimes we don't listen to Jesus very well. And the second thing it tells me is sometimes, even though I might listen to him and I might hear what he says, sometimes it doesn't register in my life. And sometimes I might know what he says, but I'm not doing what he said to do. Because that's certainly what happened in Matthew 19. It was like Jesus had never spoken those words before. And I don't want anybody to leave here and mistreat somebody and say, well, I just didn't know that I wasn't supposed to offend people. Doesn't matter whether you're at work. Doesn't matter whether you're at home. I want you to remember there's a saying. It's not straight out of the scriptures, but there's a saying that charity begins at home. You better be careful about how you speak to your spouse. You better be careful about how you speak to your children. That does not mean that you let your children go wild. It means you do discipline them, but it also means that you show a lot of love to them. They're important in the sight of God. They're special in the sight of God. Little ones better be special to you and to me. And so, and he tells us, don't mistreat them. And not only does God's word give the negative about we better not mistreat these little ones, he gives the positive and tells us good things to do to little ones. Do you think there's some good things you can do to these little ones that are in the church? Here's a good thing, a good way to treat little ones. In verse 5, Matthew 18, verse 5, he says, and whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. That's Matthew 18, verse 5. Receiving a little child. Kneel down, hug a little child. I saw an elderly lady that was staggering, about to fall earlier this morning before church started. She got a little off balance and almost fell, and she got steadied, and there was a little child was down there touching her on the dress, wanting to get a hug. That elderly lady kneeled down and hugged that little child. You know what she was doing? She was receiving a, what are the two words that we're looking at right now? Little one. She was receiving a little one. Listen, brethren, we better receive these little ones. God sent them here. You didn't even have to go get them. Somebody else went and got them, brought them right here to you. And he says, here, whosoever receiveth one of these little ones, receiveth me. You have an opportunity this morning to receive Jesus, to love Jesus. And so it is, the Word of God says, you better not mistreat them. And the Word of God says, it's more than that. You better do something to show them some love. So he says in verse 5, whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name. Back up to Matthew chapter 10. It tells you something else you can do to these little ones. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 42, Jesus again is talking about these little ones, these ones that some people might not think are too important. And let me tell you something, brethren. Everybody in this congregation is important. Do you hear me? I don't care what age you are important. I believe that everybody in this congregation, I think I know everybody that's here, I believe everybody here is a born-again child of God. And you're important to God. You need to love little one. Matthew chapter 10, listen to what Jesus says in verse 42. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these, what are the next two words there? Little ones. Are we just talking about children? No, not just little children, talking about all different categories of people, all different ages of people. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. There are blessings that God gives to people who do something for little ones. God gives them. Now, if you want to say, everybody watch me hug this child. Well, if you do it to be seen of men, you've already had your reward. But if you do something for these children and you do something for these elderly and you do something for these little ones, if you do something, Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 6, he says, when you do something, you're to do it not letting your left hand know what your right hand's doing. And your Father that sees in secret will reward you openly. And so it is. We better be doing a lot of things to little ones. Listen, this is important, brethren. This is important. I thought whenever God began to burden my heart, I thought, well, my goodness, I know I've preached on that before and probably preached on it several times. Well, it's time to preach on it again because God clearly let me know this is what I have to speak on today. Don't ignore those little ones. Don't treat them bad. Plus, go beyond that and do good things for them. Do special things for them. Do something special for these little ones. Okay? Now, let's go back to Matthew 19. There's a second part of that verse, and I'd never really noticed the two parts so clearly divided till this week in studying. But in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 14, after he says to do something good to these little ones in verse 14, he says in Matthew 19 verse 14, but Jesus said, suffer little children, that is allow little children, and forbid them not to come unto me. Now, that's doing something good. Bring little children to Jesus, okay? That's one thing. Now, second part is this, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Now, you want to be in the kingdom of heaven? And brethren, we're not talking about going to heaven when we die. We're talking about entering the kingdom of heaven, which God has prepared for his obedient children while they live here in this world. The word of God says the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Have you ever been in the kingdom of heaven? Have you ever been in the kingdom of heaven? You ever felt that righteousness and peace and joy? Have you ever felt close to God? Have you ever felt close to God? If you felt close to God, you've been in the kingdom of heaven. We've been in the kingdom of heaven. One day we're going to eternal heaven. Right now Jesus comes down here and is with us now. And that's the kingdom of heaven. And he says, now here's the kind of people that enter the kingdom of heaven. What was the kind of people that he was talking about? It says, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. What kind of people does he say it is that enter the kingdom of heaven? It's those children. It's those little ones. Suffer little children. It's those little children. Not just, you don't have to be under 21 to get into the kingdom of heaven. You can be 81. You can be 91 to be in the kingdom of heaven. But you have to be like a little child in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. I declare to you upon the authority of God's holy word, you cannot be in. See, the first half of what we talk about is how you treat little children, okay? How you treat little children. Now, the second half of what we're looking at is the importance of us being like little children. I need to be like a little child. You need to be like a little child. Now, some children have some pretty bad tempers, don't they? You think Jesus is saying, pitch a fit? Have you ever seen a child that pitched a fit? Did you know there's never been a child that pitched a fit that couldn't be fixed? Brethren, you and I as the people of God, we need to know what it means that I need to be like a little child. What does it mean that I have to be like a little child? Look in your Bible at Matthew chapter 18. Back up to 18, it's amazing how, and I've never seen this, but everywhere that he talks about how to be a little child to enter the kingdom, he also says, now you better be careful how you treat little children. So we're looking at two lessons this morning. One is how to treat little ones, and the second one is how to be little children. I need to know how to be a little child. Matthew 18, beginning with verse 1, the Word of God says, at the same time, the disciples, these are the prestigious ones, these are probably the apostles that came to Jesus. These are the ones that are really, really good Christians, right? Right? I mean, they were living good lives. These were disciples. These were learners of Jesus. These were followers of Jesus. These were Christians. And the disciples came unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Was there a problem that they had when they wanted to know which one of us is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? There was a problem. It was pride. Pride. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Verse 2 says, and Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily, I say unto you, unto who? To his disciples. I say unto you, except ye be converted. Now, what was wrong with the disciples? Did they already believe in Jesus? They already believe in Jesus? Had they already followed Jesus? Had they already made many sacrifices to be a disciple of Jesus? But was something still wrong? What was wrong? They weren't like a little what? They weren't like a little child. They were boasting, proud, arrogant. Anybody here ever been there? You ever done something right and thought you wanted to puff up about it? He says, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. They thought they were already in the kingdom of heaven. They wanted to know which one of them was the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And he says, unless you are converted, unless you change, you're not going to even enter the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, he says, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, brethren, Jesus talks a lot about being the greatest and the least in the kingdom of heaven. There are different degrees of joy and blessings in the kingdom of heaven. There are those that are the least in the kingdom of heaven. There are those all in between. And there are those that are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But he says, whosoever wants to enter the kingdom of heaven, he has to become like this little child. He has to humble himself. If you're not willing to humble yourself. Now, brethren, tell me some ways Jesus humbled himself. There are a lot of ways Jesus humbled himself. Philippians chapter 2, the Word of God says that Jesus humbled himself and made himself of no reputation and came into this world and died on the cross of Calvary. He suffered for me and for you. He humbled himself. He left the portals of heaven. The scripture says, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. He humbled himself. Brethren, we need to learn how to be rich and we need to learn how to be poor. Humble yourselves. James says, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Peter says, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. If you don't humble yourself, God will bring you down. But if you will humble yourself like these little ones, like this little child, if you'll humble yourself, and Jesus will lift you up into the kingdom of heaven, and you'll be able to feel that righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Matthew chapter, let's go to 1 Corinthians, please. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 14, talking about us being like little children. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, listen please to verse 20. The Apostle Paul writing in the church of God at Corinth, they had a lot of problems in the church. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 14, 20, brethren, were they already brothers in Christ? Were they members of the church? This letter is to the church of God at Corinth. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Let me tell you something, brethren. If you're still a child in understanding and you've been in the church 3 or 4 years, shame on you. Shame on you. I'd be just as ashamed at a parent that if a child's not afflicted and they're running around in diapers at 4 or 5 years old with a bottle in their mouth, if they haven't grown up, if they haven't matured any, shame on the parents unless there's something physically wrong. You understand what I'm saying? You have a responsibility to grow up. And the Word of God says here to the church, he says, grow up. Don't be children in understanding. Brethren, you ought to understand what the Word of God says. You ought to know the Word of God. You ought to be able to take the Word of God and teach other people the Word of God. Be not children in understanding. But, he says in the last part of that verse, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. What does that mean, in malice be ye children? Anybody that's ever had a child and had a friend come over and play, sometimes they get crossed up. And if you'll leave them alone, they'll be all right in about 3 minutes. Guarantee you. Just leave them alone. You know why? Because children can get mad, 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 and in 3 to 5 minutes, they're all okay. It's all over. In malice, be children. You might get mad at me, and I might get mad at you, but brethren, let's get over it quick. If you want to be in the kingdom of heaven, in malice be children. In understanding, you have to be men, but in malice be children. There are a lot of other ways the Word of God talks about the importance of us being children. The Word of God says, let me just close with this one verse from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. The Word of God says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. I pray that God will help us all to be children, to desire the milk of the Word, and then keep growing, and then we can get the meat of the Word. May God help us to be children in the right way so that we can be in the kingdom of heaven, is my prayer for Christ's sake.
You have been listening to the Trumpet of Truth, a broadcast ministry of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, located at 107 Linden Drive in Waycross, Georgia. Find us on your radio Sunday mornings at 9 and Sunday evenings at 5 on 91.9 FM, WASW, American Family Radio. We are committed to helping every child of God grow in their Christian walk with the Lord. If you would like a free subscription to our monthly magazine or a CD of the broadcast you just heard, please write us at the Trumpet of Truth, 655 Acock Road, Waycross, Georgia, 31503, or call us 912-285-9193. Lord willing, join us next Sunday, and until then, let's blow the trumpet in Zion. We now rejoin American Family Radio.